Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So, I want to talk about another quarterback for a second, other than Cam Ward. I want to talk about Caleb Williams. And I want to talk about Caleb Williams because sometimes I think it's easier to talk about other teams' quarterbacks and their situations than it is for me to talk about the Titans, because so many of you have personal feelings when it comes to the Titans. Every stop I've had in local radio, every stop, when I first get started, people are like, I didn't like you at first. Then I saw the team lose because you said they weren't very good, and then I started to like you a little bit. But I didn't like you at first. And so when I started on SiriusXM, I figured that was going to be the reaction around the country was, I didn't like you at first, bud. And there is some of that. But a lot of it right away was, hey, man, you're speaking the truth. And I realized the reason why was because when I criticized, say, Aaron Rodgers, everybody outside of the state of Wisconsin doesn't have their head up their rear end at that time for Aaron Rodgers. So it's like, yeah, Aaron's full of it. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's easier to talk about other teams and other quarterbacks than it is the Titans because you guys won't whine and cry about it. So here's why I want to talk about Caleb Williams. Where is everybody when it comes to Caleb Williams' standing? Do you view him as a bust? Is he a disappointment? Is he an ascending player? Would you want Caleb Williams to be the quarterback of your team? Let me just say this. I was not a fan of Caleb Williams coming out. I thought he underperformed his last year at USC. I did not like all the extra antics with Caleb Williams. Painted nails, wouldn't face the media after a loss, crying with mom in the stands, going to the combine and refusing to do the medical exam, talking about his team, etc. But if I had had the number one overall pick in 2024, I would have drafted Caleb Williams. I would have drafted him over Jaden Daniels. I would have drafted him over Drake May. Even though I like Daniels' personality and I like May's personality, I did not like Williams. But Caleb Williams did have generational talent. And so I would have drafted him. And so I've seen some headlines that through the first couple of weeks of Bears practice, Caleb Williams has struggled a little bit. And Caleb Williams might be a bust. And now we got Colin Cowherd talking about, we'll know by October whether Caleb Williams is a bust or not. And I thought, oh my God, you people are going to get me on the side of defending Caleb Williams. So let's think about Caleb Williams. And let's go back to this time last year. Do you guys remember the week one game against Chicago? And do you remember the hype for King Caleb to take the field? You were the sacrificial lamb. You were the crap bum school from nowhere that was scheduled on homecoming. You were supposed to be the team that laid down, got their rear ends kicked, and what was the beginning chapter in a Hall of Fame career for Caleb Williams. And if you remember, in order for Chicago to win that game, they needed a blocked punt and one of the stupidest interceptions from Will Levis humanly possible to give them a chance. Caleb was awful in that first game. I was offended, and I mean offended, when Fox, after the game was over, had Terry Bradshaw sitting there talking about how stupid Will Levis was, and then they went back to Chicago where Caleb was on the field. Didn't he throw for like 80 yards in that game? And they just microphone went, Caleb, how did it feel? Because, again, he was the great Caleb Williams. So everything that Titan fans are saying about Cam Ward was what the country, and especially in Chicago, what they were saying about Caleb Williams. And Chicago did everything in their power to screw this up. They should have never retained their defensive head coach, Matt Eberflus, who entered last year on the hot seat. They should have had a vet. Experienced quarterback behind Caleb Williams, not Tyson Badgett. And secondly, because they screwed it up at coach, now Caleb is learning a new system, a new scheme, and a new terminology with a different offensive line. And it should be noted, and I know people don't want to talk about this, because Ben Johnson was the hot coaching candidate, but Ben Johnson has never developed a quarterback before. Ben Johnson coached one quarterback, Jared Goff. Jared Goff had already been to a Super Bowl before he met Ben Johnson. So now you're going to ask Ben Johnson to develop a quarterback. We've seen this with Callahan. Well, Callahan was around Peyton Manning, and he was around Matthew Stafford. Right. But now we're asking him to develop Will Levis. Totally different situation. And yet, Caleb wasn't that bad last year. Caleb threw for 3,500 yards. Caleb threw for 20 touchdowns. Caleb only threw six picks. The difference between him and Jaden Daniels was 27 yards. That's it. But they won five games, and they had the 27th ranked defense, and their coach can't manage the clock, and so now it's all Caleb's fault. And you know what's crazy? This time last year, everybody was pumping up Caleb Williams. Everybody was talking about the future ascendant star. Everybody was telling all of us, as the Titans, the lowly Titans, were getting ready to play Chicago week one, that they shouldn't even show up because Caleb Williams was on the Bears. And I'm like, the Caleb Williams who underperformed, in my opinion, at USC? I'll take my chances. And yet, I actually think for a rookie, Caleb had a pretty good year. I would not sell on Caleb Williams. If he was a stock, I'd buy shares today. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar. I don't know. But I wouldn't give up on him. But the reality with young quarterbacks is it is a long process. It takes time. I remember the Titans showed up in Cleveland week one of 2019. Baker Mayfield had a solid second half of his rookie season with the Cleveland Browns. And now all of a sudden, everybody was talking Super Bowl. Now they added Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, and Baker's the man, and this is a... And it was a train wreck. The game was a train wreck. Titans went in there, kicked their ass, pick six Baker. The season was a train wreck with the moron coach they had in Freddie Kitchens. And we know about Baker's path. Carolina, L.A., now he's at Tampa Bay, and voila, now Baker has developed into a decent quarterback. You do know, as far as number one overall picks are concerned, Cam Ward did not enter the league with the hype attached to Caleb Williams. Matt Miller at ESPN did a survey at the Combine where he asked scouts and executives and analysts to all come up with, okay, how did you grade these quarterbacks coming out of college in terms of their potential? How did you grade them? Cam Ward was 18 of 22, behind only Kenny Pickett, Michael Penix, and Shedeur Sanders. Caleb Williams was number one. Trevor Lawrence was number two. And yet now the world, it feels like, is flipped on Caleb Williams. They shouldn't flip on Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams still has the opportunity to be a franchise quarterback. It's early. And that's why I bring up Cam. Because when it comes to expectations for Cam Ward, the only thing that was bad with Caleb Williams last year in Chicago was his coach and the situation that the Bears put him in. But his statistics were not bad. Winning five games as a rookie quarterback is not that unnatural. With Cam, this is going to be a long process. And he's got talent. Now, he doesn't have Caleb's talent, but he's got talent. It's up for the Titans to maximize those talents. The Chicago Bears did Caleb Williams no favors last year. None. Moron head coach, bad offensive coordinator. Now I think they've probably overreacted a little bit, and they've brought in a guru to coach him, and we'll see with Ben Johnson. But again, Ben Johnson has never developed a quarterback before. He's never been the head coach of a football team before, and now he's in charge. And if he doesn't get Caleb right this year, which, again, was only 27 less passing yards than Jaden Daniels. If he doesn't get Caleb right this year, then people will start to say, ah, Caleb is a bust. And I got to say, That's not how you develop quarterbacks. That's not how it works. And so I know Cam did some stuff physically that looked great on Twitter on Saturday. But let's not get too carried away. Because the second you start to get too carried away, it becomes the ecosystem with which Caleb Williams found himself in last year, where the dad is asking for equity in a team, and it's absurd, and he has a decent season, and nobody considers it that because everybody was told that he was going to be King Caleb. Let's just have fair expectations for a young quarterback and not get too carried away. 615-737-1025. We'll hit your phones on this. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Stillman and Company, 1025. What is the game?
3 days ago, he struggled. Ben Johnson was furious. Couldn't get the play in and out. Yesterday, struggled with a deep ball. Today, Caleb Williams, two red zone picks. One tip ball, another one horrible pass. So 3 days in a row, it's gotten a little bumpy for Caleb Williams. So people say, I hear athletes say this. I hear people say that you can't take a lot from camp. You can see red flags, positive, negative. Andrew Luck, Jaden Daniels, first week of camp, Commanders, Colts. You were hearing glowing reports. Disastrous first dates rarely become great 30-year marriages. I've interviewed lots of people in my life. Disastrous interviews never become great hire. It matters. Sean Payton last year was texting me in August. He's like, Bo Nix, it may take a few starts. Guy's going to be good. By October, Bo Nix, 103 passer rating. You can see good. It can be one of those musical shows. It can be an athlete. It can be an interview. It can be a first date. You can see stuff. What do they say? Men decide in 8 seconds. Women decide in 8 minutes if they want to spend any time with this person. So Caleb Williams was sold as a generational talent. We were all hoping it would be this generation.
That was Colin Cowherd just laying it on Caleb Williams. Up, he sucks now. I'm like, okay, easy. You guys are going to make me get on Caleb Williams' side. This is what happened with me and Jared Goff. Jared Goff was with the Rams. Sean McVay takes over, starts telling him what to do at the line of scrimmage. Jared Goff starts lighting up the scoreboard. Everyone's like, oh, Jared Goff's great. I'm like, he's really not that good. And then Jared Goff goes to the Lions, and the team stinks, and he stinks. And everyone's like, oh, Jared Goff sucks. And I'm like, Jared Goff does not suck. Jared Goff is fine. He's a solid quarterback. He's a legitimate starter. I remember having a conversation with Buck, you know, prior to the 2022 draft, where I'm like, are any of these quarterbacks better than Jared Goff? And Buck was like, don't give me Jared Goff. Jared Goff, he sucks. Robbie Stanley, same thing. And then Jared Goff got good players around him and a good coach, and Jared Goff's good again, and people are talking about league MVP. I'm like, whoa, easy there. So you guys are going to make me do the same thing when it comes to Caleb, because I got to tell you, Colin Cowherd's ready to give up on Caleb Williams. All these people are telling me Caleb's not very good. Matthew from Jolton. Our phone line is driven by WillScotty100.com. I know it's just camp, but I like what I see from Cam out of practice. I'd much rather have Cam than Caleb Williams. Wait a minute. What? Excuse me. What? One texter says, Caleb is not a bust, but so far he has been barely better than average. Again, Caleb Williams threw for 27 less yards than Jaden Daniels last year. Trust me, you wouldn't rather have Cam Ward than Jaden Daniels, would you? If you did, if you would rather have Cam Ward than Jaden Daniels, you're stupid. Caleb threw for 3,500 yards. 3,541 to be exact. He threw 20 touchdowns and 6 picks. He played all 17 games. And that was while leading the league in sacks. He got sacked more than Will Levis last year. He got sacked 68 times behind that awful offensive line with that awful coach. So you mean to tell me, texter, that Caleb Williams is barely better than average, with 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 6 picks. This is where the outrageous expectations on a rookie quarterback are to the detriment of the quarterback's development and the team itself. Because you people and Colin Cowherd, and you start to actually believe this. If Cam Ward wins 5 games, throws for 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 6 picks, I will be ecstatic this upcoming season. But again, you people, it's like, no. I mean, it's got to be C.J. Stroud. See how many yards C.J. Stroud threw for as a rookie. Let's see, did he throw more? How many yards? Did he throw for 4,000 as a rookie? C.J. threw for 4,100. Okay, so C.J. had a much better year. You want to know the difference, though? Caleb was sacked 68 times last year. C.J. was sacked 38 times as a rookie. There's a difference. Josh says, I think Williams is the victim of being in a bad situation while also being in a big market. And it didn't help that the quarterback taken right after him had one of the best rookie seasons ever. I am curious, what is the general consensus on Drake May? Well, I don't know what the general consensus on Drake May is, but I know what the consensus in New England is, which is he's young, showed talent, showed ability, and now Vrabel's going to coach him up. I have a hard time believing that Mike Vrabel is going to be the difference maker when it comes to Drake May. That's just me. I struggle with this. Tech says, Jared, great stuff as always. It seems to me the media is blowing everything out of proportion, and that contributes to the fans' increased expectations for winning from young quarterbacks early in their NFL careers. I think it's a couple things. I think that is part of it. I think part of it is, you know, Floyd used to always tell me you're not going to win with a rookie quarterback. He used to just say it. And then I'd say, but Ben Roethlisberger won as a rookie. And he'd say, okay. Like, okay, so there's one. But normally you're not going to win with a rookie quarterback. By the way, Ben threw for 2,600 yards his rookie year. That's it. 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. You're not going to win with a rookie quarterback for the most part. Now, C.J. Stroud won, and Jaden Daniels won. That's it. I think that hurts. I think the bigger issue, though, is we overhype these guys. We overhype these guys. And I think the 2022 draft and Jared Goff is the perfect example of this. Jordan Reed at ESPN had a mock draft in which he had Malik Willis going at number 2 to the Detroit Lions. And I thought to myself, that is crazy talk. I mean, absolutely just crazy. But it was, well, they need a quarterback. I said, well, they have Jared Goff. Are any of these guys going to be better than Jared Goff? And again, when Jared Goff's on a bad team, and Jared Goff's got bad coaching, and Jared Goff's got bad offensive line play, and Jared Goff doesn't have a defense, Jared Goff stinks. And when Jared Goff's got Penei Sewell at right tackle, and he's got Amon-Ra St. Brown at wide receiver, and he's got a two-headed monster at running back, and he's got Ben Johnson calling the plays, and he's got a defense with Aiden Hutchinson, Jared Goff's pretty good. That's most the quarterbacks in the NFL. And so Jaden Daniels last year played on a team where they completely reworked the defense on the fly. And Cliff Kingsbury's a great play caller, even though he's probably not made out to be a head coach. He's a very good play caller. And he had a number one receiver in Terry McLaurin. And quite frankly, I think they ran into the Lions that week where the Lions were too busy with their offensive and defensive coordinators worried about jobs that they were going to get instead of the jobs that they had calling the game. And I think that is what led the Commanders right to the NFC title game. Kind of the same way you got to the AFC title game. Doesn't mean Tannehill's the greatest quarterback since sliced bread. But because the media hypes these quarterbacks up so much through the draft process, it's like, oh, well, this guy, we've been waiting on him for years. He's going to be great right away. Vince Young was great right away. How'd that work out? I use Caleb as the example because Caleb Williams was an elite, top-of-the-line quarterback prospect. Elite. By the way, so was Trevor Lawrence. Much better than Cam. And yet, I think here in Nashville, we're starting to put the Caleb Williams expectations on Cam Ward, and I think all that's going to do is screw things up the way it's screwing things up right now for Caleb Williams. 615-737-1025. More of your phones. 615-737-1025 here on the program. And my favorite part about, again, fans just losing it after Saturday's open practice. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
Fun to watch practice today. I want to start, first of all, the big throw. We'll get to all the other topics, but walk me through the big throw down the field, the big touchdown to Ridley today.
That's a little scramble drill. I don't know if it's a real play. Might have been a sack. I can see it on film, but that's just me getting quality work in my guys, them letting them know how I think in scramble drill, so it's good that we was able to get one of those plays.
I love the fact that that big play that everyone's talking about, I mean, Pat McAfee was losing his mind talking about it today. Again, Cam Ward's like, yeah, I think that one might have been a sack. PK wrote in his breakdown of Cam Ward's practice, he broke down that throwing back across his body hurt Ward a few times in the red zone back in minicamp, but he recognized a great opportunity Saturday when Simmons chased him to the right. On the busted play, he saw Ridley had broken free, going the other way, and the risk was minimal as there was no safety there, just McCreary. He lofted the ball over McCreary, and Ridley ran for an easy touchdown. It made for a nice moment, but Simmons had him, and in real life, it would have been a hit or a sack. So the moment that everyone's like, ah, was, again, a sack. And Cam's telling you, yeah, pretty sure this probably would have been a sack. All right, back to your phones. Texture says, I was there at practice on Saturday. I watched Burks break his collarbone, but besides that, I will say I'm concerned about Cam Ward. He severely underthrew a few passes and threw a horrible interception to James Williams. Can I just say this? Again, I know that this is the way it works as far as fans and practice are concerned. If a guy screws up, it's, Jared, it's just practice. And if a guy does well, it's, I told you this was going to be his breakout season. We call this the Chigakonkwo rule, I guess. Only the good things count. Apparently, Cam Ward has thrown an interception over the middle to an inside backer every single practice. And if you go back to the last day of mandatory minicamp, that's four in a row. Cody Barton, and now James Williams. At some point, that does have to change. You know, we keep hearing all the time people say, well, you know, the important thing is to not make the same mistake twice. Well, Cam has made the same mistake every day. And nobody really says that. Matthew from Jolton, who says that he'd rather have Cam than Caleb Williams, says, I'd also rather have J.J. McCarthy over Caleb. You know, there is a theory that, and it's not really a theory, I mean, I guess this is just a fact. If you buy a new car, now let me say this, I have never bought a new car in my life. I believe in used cars. Because I struggle with the depreciation of the car the second you drive it off the lot. So you get a new car because you feel all big and bad. Yeah, I just got a new car. And then you drive it off the lot and 20% of the value is gone. And I hate that. Like, it makes me want to throw up thinking about. Now, if I had, like, $100 million, maybe I'd buy a new car. But I'm not going to tell you guys how much money I have, but I'm doing okay. I'm not buying a new car. I will buy a used car, and I will be happy that I bought a used car. But one thing that is obvious is that when it comes to fans in the NFL, the new thing is always better than the used thing, unless the used thing is Mahomes. Caleb Williams has some miles on him last year, so he must stink. Caleb Williams, by all these evaluators, are much, much, much better. Much better than J.J. McCarthy was coming out of college. Not that J.J. McCarthy wasn't considered a first-round pick or anything like that. He was, and people liked him. But he wasn't Caleb freaking Williams. But again, this guy's like, I'd rather have J.J. McCarthy than Caleb Williams. It's like, whoa. Whoa. Skyler says, I would trade any player on the Titans for Caleb Williams right now. You know what's funny? You know who else probably would? The Titans. Like, if the Bears called today and they said, hey, we'll trade you Caleb for Cam straight up, I think the Titans' reaction would be, what's wrong with Caleb? You tell us right now. Like, there's a reason you're trying to, is it going to come out tomorrow that Caleb is involved with the cartel? And that's why before the feds arrest you, try to trade? What's going on here? Because again, as far as talent is concerned, Caleb Williams was considered a generational talent coming out. If you could have offered 5 number one picks to the Bears, they would not have picked up the phone. They would not have picked up the phone. Wouldn't have done it. One texter says, how many games did the Bears win, Jared? Again, they had the 27th ranked defense. They had a terrible coach, terrible offensive line, and you're saying, well, Caleb sucks because he didn't win games. As a rookie quarterback, be careful doing that. Also, if we're going to do the, well, what did he win? I mean, Jaden Daniels beat Caleb on a Hail Mary. Not a lot Caleb can do on that one. One texter says, I don't care how many yards my quarterback has. I want low turnovers and wins. Well, again, Caleb turned the ball over less last year than Jaden Daniels. He threw 6 interceptions. 6 interceptions is incredible in a 17-game season. That's great. In fact, to be honest with you, like if Caleb throws 6 interceptions a year, I would be saying, hey, you might need to be a little bit more aggressive with the football. Because while I don't want somebody to go out there and throw 20 interceptions, I do know interceptions are a part of the game. And so when Caleb is only throwing 6, that is a, hey, are you being aggressive enough with the football? You're just checking it down. Caleb didn't turn the ball over last year. His team didn't win. Sure, some of that's probably on him, but not all of it. And again, rookie quarterbacks traditionally don't win. But all these people are trying to convince me that Caleb Williams is no good now. And now I'm on the side. I've never been a Caleb Williams fan. I'm not a Caleb Williams fan now. But I am now on the side of pushing back and saying, like, Caleb is not bad. The expectations that were drawn up for Caleb were way, 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 way too high. Way too high. And that he met what should have been the fair expectations for a rookie quarterback that first year in Chicago, but because everybody else built him up to be too big, now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, Caleb sucks. And I'm like, that no. And if you build Cam up to be that high and Cam has Caleb season, which again, I think is a good season for a rookie quarterback. It's not C.J. Stroud's rookie year. It's not Jaden Daniels' rookie year. But if he has that rookie year, then I think you guys that are setting your hopes up at the very top are going to feel the way people feel about Caleb now, which is, oh, yeah, no, Caleb sucks. Whoa. 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 One text says, what in the hell is wrong with these people? Caleb Williams has played one season. I texted Caroline. I'm like, I got to ask. I texted Caroline, and I said, hey, who would you rather have? Caleb Williams or Cam Ward? Because I'm like, you know what? I think it's kind of silly that people would be saying, I'd rather have Cam Ward than Caleb Williams. I think that's a little silly. Just a little silly. And yet, that's what some people are saying. So I texted Caroline, I said, who'd you rather have, Caleb Williams or Cam Ward? She said, Caleb Williams. I don't think that this is much of a discussion, to be honest. Other than, again, you like the new car instead of the car that's got just a little bit of mileage on it. Wesson Hermitage says, I'd most definitely rather have Ward than Williams. I missed it this weekend. What color were Ward's nails? I will say this. I would not have wanted to draft Williams at number one. I would have felt compelled to because the talent's so good. But man, the purse bothers me. The nails bother me. The not speaking to the media after losing a game in college bothers me. You're going to have to speak to the media in the NFL. Go be a big boy, Caleb. Go show us you can be a big boy. All that stuff bothered me as far as Caleb Williams is concerned. Cam Ward, I don't think, has any of those issues, and I'd still rather have Caleb Williams than Cam Ward because I think Caleb Williams has more talent. It's as simple as that to me. He's got more talent. And I think Caleb Williams, when it comes to quarterback talent, has elite talent. I don't think Cam, just from even watching some of these throws on just the videos on Twitter, he doesn't have Caleb's accuracy. Like, Caleb is an accurate quarterback. He's got real talent. And I also think if Cam has Caleb's year, I'd say that's actually a pretty good thing. One texter says, if Cam has Caleb's year, that would be absolutely amazing. And if there's any fan that says otherwise, they're lying. Wait till the end of the season and watch every single one of them change their opinion, saying, Jared, he threw for 3,500 yards. Agreed. 615-737-1025. There was some college football news out there today that I do want to get to. We'll do that next. I changed my mind. We got to get to this Christian Wilkins story. Have you heard the latest in the Christian Wilkins story? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 125 The Game.
What happens here with Christian Wilkins?
Again, from speaking to people inside the locker room, I think what everybody's dancing around and tiptoeing around is the fact that when you speak to people there inside the locker room, they say that Christian playfully went to kiss a teammate on top of his head. And those same people said that that player took offense to it. So that's what everybody's been dancing around and tap dancing around, an incident in the locker room where he allegedly playfully kissed a teammate on top of his head. That teammate felt offended by it. And that's what a lot of this talk and speculation that people have just been floating around out there is about.
Okay, wait a minute. What? So last week, I don't know about you, I don't keep up with the Raiders on a daily basis, but I was surprised when I saw that the Raiders were releasing Christian Wilkins and that they were trying to void the guarantees in his contract. And Pete Carroll was like, well, it just wasn't working out. And then you hear, well, he had a foot injury and he wasn't rehabbing it the way he was supposed to. And again, it just felt like some basic, you know, inner team NFL drama. You know, the team doesn't want to pay. The player wants his money. He got his big check and now he doesn't work as hard and so on and so forth. And then I hear that Schefter on McAfee saying Christian Wilkins kissed a guy on the head in the locker room and that might be part of the issue. Now, McAfee followed up and said, so wait a minute. So he kissed a guy on the head, and that's why they cut him with all that millions and millions of guaranteed money out there? Here's what Schefter said.
They voided his contract because he kissed a guy on the head?
No, that's not why they voided his contract. They voided his contract because there was a disagreement over the way he was going about his rehab and his foot injury. Basically, the team had been asking him to have foot surgery over and over. I think there were scheduled surgeries and they didn't get done. And it's his body. He gets to do whatever he wants, right? So I think they wanted him to get the issue corrected surgically. He kept balking at that. It was not getting done. I think the team grew increasingly frustrated over time because they wanted him to have the surgery done. He didn't want to get it done. Maybe he felt like he didn't need it. You'd have to ask him. I don't know the full details there. And so when there was a disagreement over that surgery, whether or not to have it, whether or not to get it done, putting it off again, it got to the point where they're like, hey, you don't get this done, we're not going to have you early in the year. We need this done, and it didn't get done.
Okay. So Schefter saying, no, it wasn't that he playfully kissed somebody on the head. It was that They wanted him to have a foot surgery. He didn't want to have a foot surgery, so that was the end of it. Dude, I don't know what to make of this story. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, says, if the up or down yes or no questions whether Wilkins allegedly playfully kissed a teammate on the head is the thing going around the NFL as to the incident that may have happened, that is definitely not the case, Florio writes. While Schefter's report could be the accurate and definitive explanation as to what actually happened, the version slash speculation slash rumor that has been making the rounds on the NFL grapevine regarding Wilkins and a teammate isn't that Wilkins kissed a teammate on the head. Jake, are you picking up what he's putting down?
Maybe. What are you thinking actually went down here?
The version speculation rumor that has been making the rounds on the NFL grapevine regarding Wilkins and a teammate isn't that Wilkins kissed a teammate on the head.
Oh.
He didn't say it's not that he didn't kiss a teammate.
Gotcha.
It's that he didn't kiss a teammate on the forehead in a playful manner some way or another. Florio continues. Schefter has since published an article about it. He reports that the incident happened last week in a team meeting room. One source said the interaction was, quote, playful. The teammate nevertheless objected, filing a report with the team's HR department. Schefter also adds this new wrinkle, that the Raiders voided the $35.2 million in remaining guarantees on Wilkins' deal on June 4th. The NFLPA filed a grievance on Wilkins' behalf on Thursday, the same day Wilkins was released. Okay, so all I know is something ain't adding up here. And I feel like I've got to be very careful with what I say. In the NFL, everybody is an individual, and they have their own feelings towards homosexuality, one way or another. Again, what I feel like Florio is trying to put down is this idea that, I mean, hey, the round making the grapevine of the NFL are that it wasn't kissing on the forehead. The NFL has been accepting of an openly gay player. Carl Nassib was a member, I believe, of the Buccaneers, and he may have actually been on the Raiders when he came out as gay. So this isn't something that would be completely new to the NFL, and I'm not saying Christian Wilkins is or isn't. I'm just saying if that happened to be the case. But we've never heard about these stories in the locker room. I'll be honest. I do wonder how these things go over in the WNBA when a player is dating a teammate and how that makes the other players feel and if there are ever issues and so on and so forth. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of smoke to this. And it seems like there's a lot of smoke to the point that this team had already invested $1 zillion in Christian Wilkins, because if there was only $35 million left in guaranteed money, I want to say he signed for something like $100 million. So they've already paid him a fortune. And the most money the player usually gets in a contract is in the first year of the contract, as far as guaranteed money is concerned. What this is telling me is that whatever happened between Wilkins and the Raiders, or Wilkins and players on the Raiders, whatever happened was so much smoke that Pete Carroll was like, you know what? Let's just move on. Let's just do that. I'm reading more of Florio's article saying, let's take a step back and apply common sense. First, if the Raiders voided the guarantees on June 4th regarding his alleged failure to rehab his foot injury, why did they wait to cut him over the rehab issue on July 24th? Was the incident in the meeting room truly the final straw, or were they simply hoping another potential reason to wipe out his guarantees may fall in their laps? As to the incident, would a reasonable professional football player make a report to HR over a teammate allegedly kissing him on the head? It seems like an extreme reaction to being kissed on the head, so if an HR report was indeed filed, it's fair to wonder whether the player who made the report has a different version of the events. I mean, sounds like Florio knows something he's not saying. He ended his story with this quote. Then there's the teammate who made the complaint. A name has been making the rounds. If that's the player, or really whoever it may be, he can tell his side of the story and set the record straight as to whatever it was that made him do something that NFL players rarely do against teammates, race to human resources. Dude, this story is all kinds of screwed up. I don't know what to make of this. Other than this is a doozy. Dylan and Antioch, sounds like the regular kind of grab ass these guys play all the time, and it doesn't really seem like that big of a deal. Again, that's if he kissed him on the forehead. That's the, and what Florio's saying is the rumor that's going around in NFL circles isn't that he kissed somebody on the forehead. Again, I'm not in the NFL circle, so I hadn't heard this. I'm going to text somebody who might be, though, and I am going to ask, and I'm going to say, hey, what is this rumor in NFL circles Florio is referring to, if you know? Oh, I just love the gossip and the drama of all of it. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So a lot of Titans fans have just felt offended. I mean offended when it comes to the coverage that Cam Ward has gotten. Well, I think you can officially change your tune on that one. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.